our friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Mike, how hard are you right now?
Oh, man, I've been hard since you said, hi, welcome to Friends with Fantasy Benefits podcast.
Join with me on this episode is the ghost of Mike Warner. Ghost of Mike Warner, how you doing?
We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
There's a holiday this week. I'm in the middle of Hanukkah right now. I don't know what other holiday you're talking about.
Well, shalom.
Don't take this to Sentiment Island. Don't take this to Sentimental Island.
We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
He said a bunch of different things, half of which didn't make sense. It's like a four-minute-long video of him having no clue what the fuck's going on.
Speaking of another Patriots player in jail time, Aaron Hernandez is again linked to another murder.
We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Welcome to episode 94 of the Friends of Fantasy Benefits football podcast. I am Justin Mason, lead fantasy writer and analyst for friendsoffantasybenefits.com. Join with me on this episode is the ghost of Mike Warner. Ghost of Mike Warner, how you doing?
Yeah, the ghost of Mike Warner passed, or whatever the Christmas term is. But yeah, I had to, you know, get my microphone out, dust it off. It's been a while. I've had like no voice. I essentially had a really bad sickness for a couple of weeks, and you know, it required a lot of antibiotics and fluids. And you know, this is by far the best I've felt and have been able to speak in you know, quite some time. So nice to be back. Hopefully everybody had a nice fantasy playoffs. I know it's been a lot of stuff going on the last few weeks, but yeah, it's been rough in terms of how I felt, but it's also been kind of rough in my fantasy playoffs as well.
And has it been rough for you? I mean, how are you doing in the fantasy playoffs?
Well, I was in 10 leagues this year. I made it into seven of the 10 leagues that I took part in. I ended up only making the championship in one league. I know you and I are in a three-sport league, and so technically I'm in the championship there, but I don't really count that since we have three people that kind of face each other in the championship.
And you're
but,
so far down after the week one of the two-league championship, you shouldn't count it.
Yeah, I'll be third. You know, I know nobody cares about my leagues or whatever, but yeah. So I only made one. I had a ton of bad beats. These two rounds have been kind of tough. But regardless, you know, I'm kind of right there with everybody. I know there's a lot of stuff to talk about, so let's do it.
Well, let's talk about me for a second.
No, nobody wants to talk about you. Let's move on.
I was in seven leagues this year, which a little surprises me that you were in more leagues than me. But whatever. I made it into four of my playoffs in my leagues. I got eliminated in the first round in one, but I'm in the championship in all three other ones, including one where I delivered one of the worst beats I've ever delivered in a fantasy football champ or a semifinal. Went into the Monday Night Football game down 5 points. I had DeSean Jackson. He had Kirk Cousins in a PPR league, and somehow I won by four.
That's terrible. I remember you mentioning that on the you know, the group chat and everything, and I was just, I mean, I still can't believe you actually won that. If I was the opposition, I'd be very upset about that outcome, but you know, that's the way the fantasy football gods had it in store for you, so you're welcome, I guess.
Yeah, this is a league I've dominated for years, and I've never won. So, like, I've dominated the regular season for years in this league, and a baseball league with all the same guys, and never won a championship. I won the baseball championship last year, and so this year I'm going for the football championship. So, hopefully, I've backdoored my way into it, so hopefully I can pull it out.
Yeah, my worst beat this last week was you know, my work league. So we have, you know, a bunch of people at my work that are in the fantasy football and everything. And so not only that, there was the person I was playing in the playoffs. It was a girl, actually. And she won last year. Go figure. But massive Dallas Cowboys fan, actually, you know, and as you know, I'm a Buccaneer fan. So on Sunday night, we decided, you know, me and her would go out and watch the game, you know, since obviously our two teams are facing off and we were facing each other in the fantasy playoffs. All that I had left over was Mike Evans. That was the only player left in the matchup. And she was up by, what, 15 points. So I needed 15 points or a little bit of more than 15 points from Evans in a PPR league to get me the win. And I wanted the Buccaneers to win. I was 0-for-2 in both of those. And it was a very sad evening.
Yeah, you should have had that one pretty easily.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, I was actually more upset about the Bucks loss, but, you know, whatever. It's regardless, you know, we're moving forward.
All right, well, let's move forward. Enough about our leagues. Let's try to help you guys with your leagues and win you guys some championships this week. Let's start with Thursday Night Football since we're recording on Wednesday, and hopefully I'll have it up in plenty of time for people to listen to it. We've got the Giants at the Eagles. What's your takeaway, Mike?
Yeah, my takeaway is Ryan Matthews and whether you should feel comfortable in starting him. And my answer, at least for now, is yes. You know, the last couple of weeks, he's had 15 and 20 rushes, respectively. He's gone into the end zone, you know, last week in particular against Baltimore, who has been a top five rush defense pretty much all season. The real reason I think that he is a viable start for this week and you shouldn't have, you know, you should have a good amount of confidence in him is just because, you know, Wendell Smallwood's out. You're not going to see him, you know, take any snaps. And then, you know, Kenyon Barner is also nursing a hamstring injury. So even with Darren Sproles likely going to be active this week, I still have Matthews as a borderline running back too, because he's going to get the majority of those inside touches. I realize that the Giants have been a very good defensive unit this year in general. But at the same time, I think that this is, you know, it's pretty much a volume play. If somebody's going to get 15 plus touches, especially at running back, you kind of have to take notice. And, you know, somebody like Matthews, while he's not the, you know, most durable in the world, and he's certainly not as talented as he used to be, he's still going to be in a spot that, you know, you can at least bank on the volume. So I like Ryan Matthews as a running back too.
Yeah, and I am playing him in that league I was just mentioning this week because I pretty much have no running backs left. And I agree with you. We are pretty much in lockstep in terms of what his value is. You have him as your 24th ranked running back. I have him as my 26th ranked running back. But as much as the Giants defense have been playing fairly well as of late, the volume in itself should be enough to get you some points worth starting if you're in a position where you could be a little bit desperate. Let's go ahead and let's pick the game. I don't really have. Do you have anything else from this game? Because I mean, I don't really. I mean, I guess either team could be an interesting defensive stream. But
yeah,
I mean, I probably. You know, I mean, the Giants are probably owned in most leagues, and the Eagles are so risky, especially on a Thursday night, I might just stick away from them.
Yeah, there's really, I mean, I have the Eagles as my 14th, you know, ranked defense for this week, which is obviously like a, you know, borderline start. But the Giants, I mean, if they are available, I know, you know, sometimes people are streaming defenses every week. And, you know, obviously the Giants have been playing well lately. I have them as a top six option. And I know you have them ranked sixth as well. So, yeah, if for some reason, you know, the Giants are available, that's certainly where you would want to go here. I think, you know, if we're picking the game or whatever, I think that this is going to be a, you know, a Giants victory pretty handedly. So if you're looking at it that way, I think that this is a scenario where, you know, you might see a few turnovers from Carson Wentz and that Eagles offense, and the Giants should be able to capitalize.
I think this is going to be a little bit closer game than maybe you might. I still think the Giants win, but I mean, Philadelphia played Baltimore pretty tough and probably could have and should have won that game last Sunday. I think Philadelphia hasn't given up. They're showing some heart. The defense has some interesting pieces. I think if they can hold Odell Beckham in check, they should be able to keep the Giants from running all over them. So I think the Giants win, but I think it's going to be closer. And so I have Philadelphia as a top 10 play on my defense. So go ahead and stream them up. I probably will in a couple leagues.
Yeah, blowout for the Giants is like what they did against Cleveland, which was like two touchdowns or like a touchdown and a field goal. So no, they're not going to blow them out. But regardless, Wentz, I mean, and I think there's like 15 division games this week, if I'm not, or maybe not 15. I think there's only like maybe 11. Either way, there's a ton of in division matchups this week. So those are usually typically closer games as opposed to blowouts.
Let's see. I'm counting three. Three, four, five, three, four, five, five non-division games. So 11, that would make 11 division games this week.
Yeah, that's a ton. So it might lend to a lot of, you know, close scoring. As far as Odell Beckham, I heard you mention him. He's going to go off in this game. I mean, the Eagles have been – they've given up the fourth most fantasy points per game to wide receivers over the last four games. And they while they were really good at the beginning of the season, their cornerback play has just dropped off an insane amount.
Yeah. I mean, you got to think they're gonna try to double and then put a spy over the top and things. But, yeah, I think Beckham will definitely get his. All right, we're both taking the Giants, so we can just go ahead and move on to Saturday because we have 4 days of professional football given the holiday and the fact that nobody cares as much about college football until we get closer to New Year's.
There's a holiday this week? I'm in the middle of Hanukkah right now. I don't know what other holiday you're talking about.
Well, shalom.
I don't roll on Shabbos. Shalom Shabbos.
let's talk about the Dolphins at the Bills. What's your takeaway, Mike?
How about Matt Moore last week? I mean, I know I wasn't on to talk about Matt Moore, but is he arguably better than the baseball Matt Moore at this point? I mean, you would assume. Just
how
based
dare
on
you?
Game.
How dare you take a shot at my San Francisco Giants?
But you know, I guess my takeaway from this game will be Jay Ajayi. You know, after being stellar for, you know, what, a three or four week period, we've seen him drop off, you know, mightily. And really, I think that is just in direct correlation with the offensive line. Laremy Tunsil, I don't think, is fully healthy. They put Mike Pouncey on IR. You know, so while Adam Gase is a magician, I can't say enough how amazing of a head coach he is. I just feel like this is a spot. I ranked Ajayi 13th at running back this week, so you have to play him essentially. But I'm very worried about this. I'm very worried about the matchup. While the Bills haven't been stellar against the run, they can bottle you up at times. So, and this is their life on the line. I mean, if they win this game, then all of a sudden they legitimately have a shot to get in. And you know, while Miami has been on a really nice roll over the last few weeks or so, this is a game that, you know, is so important that I could see it, you know, being a situation where they could possibly get Ajayi stuff. So while I have him as a running back one essentially for this week, I'm very worried about it. And if you have other guys, if you know, you're losing after Thursday night or whatever by a massive margin, maybe you can find another running back that you can go with that has a little bit of higher upside.
Yeah, I think this game is going to be one that features the running backs. The weather is not supposed to be good. High of 39 degrees, freezing rain, maybe some snow. It's Buffalo in December, so it's going to be shitty weather, which should lend itself to the running game. So, I mean, I'm starting both running backs on either side, McCoy and Ajayi. And, I mean, Gillislee, you know, especially in non-PPR standard leagues, you know, he is kind of the goal line dude there. So, you know, I mean, it's I don't have any problem starting the running backs. You know, I think Ajayi will be fine. They're going to need to move the ball on the ground because I think both teams are going to have trouble moving the ball through the air with what the weather looks like it may be.
Well, yeah, I mean, the Dolphins and the Bills over the last 4 weeks have given up, you know, the Bills have given up the second most running back points in terms of fantasy points per game, and the Dolphins the eighth most to running backs. So I agree with that. It's just really tough. Really, the reason the Bills are ranked that high is because they gave up massive days to, you know, I think it's Le'Veon Bell. They gave up that, like, massive 300-yard day, essentially, you know, and they gave up a lot to Latavius Murray and stuff, too. So I think that's kind of part of the reason they, you know, are looking like they're that bad defensively. But we all know they're a Rex Ryan-led defense. At times, they can bottle you up. It all just kind of really depends on how the game flow is going. I will mention with Gillislee. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to mention that, you know, I mean, there was a report that came out earlier this week that Rex Ryan will not be retained. So,
really?
So that Rex Ryan will probably be fired at the end of the season. So it'll be interesting to see. I mean, I'm not usually the one for narratives. But at the end of the season, teams sometimes do kind of give up, especially when coaches get fired. So that is something to kind of keep an eye on.
They're in the middle of a playoff hunt, though.
Buffalo?
Yeah, they still have an ability to make the playoffs, especially if they win this game. I mean, they have to win out. They have to win both games.
Yeah, they're there. You know, come on.
They have an outside chance. With Gillisley, I just wanted to bring this up really fast. He has received 7 red zone touches compared to, 11 for LeSean McCoy over the last 3 weeks. And I think that that's something that should be noted. I mean, while McCoy has been a running back one and has been great for fantasy this whole entire year, Gillisley has carved himself a nice little role here. And especially in 14-team leagues or deeper, there's certainly validity to starting him if you're in a pinch in championship week. I mean, a lot of people lost Melvin Gordon and are trying to kind of pick up the pieces from there. Some people have Mark Ingram. You know, I mean, there's a lot of scenarios where somebody like Gillisley could be viable.
Yeah, I mean, technically Buffalo is still in the playoff race, but they're 2 games out from the number 6 seed right now. And they've got 1, 2, 3, 4 teams that aren't in the playoffs right now, that wouldn't be the 6th seed if the season ended today, in front of them, including Indianapolis, who they're tied with and they don't have the tiebreaker with. So, I mean, like, yeah, Buffalo's technically still in it, but they're not. Let's be honest here. So, yeah, I mean, we'll see how it goes. Buffalo at Miami, or Miami at Buffalo. Who you got, Mike?
I'm going with Buffalo.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm taking Miami, baby.
Buffalo's favored in this game. Wow. With like a 13 over under.
Wow. 13. All right, let's move on to the next game. We'll talk about the Jets at the Patriots. Mike, what's your takeaway?
Malcolm Mitchell, start him this week. I know he faced Denver last week, and you know he pretty much got bottled up like he naturally would against an elite Denver secondary, especially on the outside. But this week against the Jets, I think the Patriots are always a team that strictly uses different game plans per their opponent that they're facing. I love this matchup for Mitchell. I also like it for Hogan if you're going to go with Chris Hogan in a deeper format or whatever. But I love Malcolm Mitchell this week. I'm all aboard, and I think that you should.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of something on the Jets side.
Robbie Anderson, maybe. I mean, we're living in a world, Justin, where I ranked what, 40 or almost 50 receivers this week, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, 50 receivers I ranked, and Brandon Marshall was not one of them. I mean, that's the world we're living in.
I don't know. Did I rank Marshall? I don't think I did.
There would be no reason to if you did. At the end of the day, this is Bryce Petty, if he plays, I think he will play based on what I'm seeing. I have Robbie Anderson as the 32nd wide receiver in my rankings, and that's because of the volume. I mean, obviously Bryce Petty just, peppers Robbie Anderson with targets here, and I don't think there's any reason to really steer clear of that. This is going to be a game where the Patriots are obviously going to be up. I think that this is a scenario where especially if you're looking for some type of, deep league wide receiver, like on the Jets, that's your takeaway is Robbie Anderson. I mean, Bilal Powell is also the, automatic start here. Matt Forte, shouldn't have played last week, but he did. And, now Bilal Powell has, looked great the last couple of weeks here. It looks like his volume is trending up as well. So if you pencil him in for 15 plus touches, I think he's a top 20 running back as well. So those are your 2 guys from the Jets, Robbie Anderson and Bilal Powell.
Yeah, I'm not I ranked Anderson, but I'd be really hard pressed to start him in any format. Powell, I don't know where I ranked him. I bet I put him in the top 25 though, 22nd. So yeah, I've got him as an RB2 for this game. I mean, just based on sheer number of touches. So I mean, I don't think he's going to do a ton necessarily, but I think the volume might add up to something. So especially if the Jets can get into the end zone. All right, Jets at New England. Mike, who you got?
New England.
Yep. Let's go ahead and move on to the next game. Talk about Tennessee at Jacksonville. Speaking of teams that have a better shot at making the playoffs than the Buffalo Bills, Mike, what's your takeaway?
You're so shocked that they have a mathematical chance of making it. They're not going to make it, Justin. It's okay. You don't have to worry about it or anything.
No, I'm just going to mention every time there's someone who's got a mathematically better chance than the Bills.
Well, my takeaway is Derrick Henry. He is out touching. He is a beast. And, you know, everybody that was, you know, pretty much handcuffing him all season might finally reap the rewards. I mean, Jacksonville has been one of the worst teams against the run all season long, while their secondary has certainly improved and they've done much better in that avenue. Against the run, they haven't. And Derrick Henry has 8 red zone touches compared to 4 for DeMarco Murray over the last 2 games. They're getting him more involved. I feel like DeMarco Murray, since the bye week, really, even before the bye week, he was losing a little bit of his, you know, kind of elusiveness and kind of his power. And I think that he might be nursing just kind of the workload of the season. It's kind of catching up to him a bit, kind of the Matt Forte effect not the same level. But regardless, I think Derrick Henry is certainly somebody that you can look at here. Would I start him over Murray? Absolutely not. But I do think I have him ranked 33rd this week. You have him at 34, Justin. I think he's a running back 3. And if you want to use him as a flex, I have no problem with that. Even if you want to use him as a low end running back 2, if you're in a pinch, I think that that's a viable strategy as well. So I really think Derrick Henry needs to be put on notice a little bit more.
Yeah, I think he is a guy that is probably a tad bit underrated at this point in terms of ownership, because I don't think most people held on to him for the whole year. I'm going to check his ownership percentage right now and see where he's at. Yeah, only owned in 42% of leagues on ESPN.com.
That's so insane. Yeah, I mean, especially when you should be owning handcuffs down the stretch instead of like your middling guy. Like Matt Forte is not ownable right now. Like you should have dropped him before last week, you know, I mean, in favor of somebody like Henry.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Murray looks great. He's still the number one dude. But I mean, the fact that Henry got 2 touchdowns, was used a ton in the goal line. I mean, I think this is going to be what it is for the rest of the season. And I mean, if you're in keeper and dynasty leagues, I think Henry is the guy to own because Murray's contract is huge. It wouldn't be surprising to see Tennessee just cut bait on him or try to move him at peak value. So, I mean, Henry's a stud and only owned in 42% of leagues. Yeah, go ahead and fire him up because Jacksonville, while they looked a little bit better defensively last week, they're not going to, you know, they just lost their coach for the year. So who knows what they're going to look like next week.
Yeah. Why fire Gus Bradley immediately after the game? Like, why didn't you fire him like after the London game earlier this year?
Or like, I never understand firing a coach before the end of the season.
Yeah. Just like, fire him at the end.
Like to me, that is like giving in to what the fans want.
Well, it sounded to me like the person who fired him didn't even really want to fire him right then. Like, he just did it. Like, regardless, Gus Bradley does
it seemed like to
there.
Me that, what's his name, Khan, the owner, was like, hey, listen, he needs to go, and if you don't do it, you're going with him.
Well, I find that to be ridiculous. Regardless, he shouldn't have been fired then. I think that's a real, you know, real shot at him that you shouldn't have had to take or shouldn't have taken in general, because, you know, I mean, regardless of how his record is, I mean, I think that he just was left with some pieces that he had nothing he could do with, you know, and, you know, I think he'll be, you know, a fine coordinator somewhere or whatever. I mean, we've seen some other coaches and, you know,
another shot because the defense wasn't the problem.
No. The problem was the number 3 overall pick at the quarterback position. And, you know, RIP Allen Robinson. Like, if, you know, we weren't on last week, but if we were, I was going to say that Allen Robinson was a viable play because of the Texans being a bottom 10, you know, pass defense over the last few weeks and the fact that he had his best game essentially of the season against the Texans earlier this year. And he just, you know, again, shit the bed. And, you know, Blake Bortles is just that bad. I mean, but talking about, you know, fantasy going forward, like, you really need to kind of correlate your wide receiver plays with the quarterback as well, because somebody like Blake Bortles, who I was down on all you know off season, has really derailed one of the best wide receivers in all football. And going into next year, if they don't do anything with their quarterback position, if they just draft like a 4th round rookie, then you know Allen Robinson is borderline not draftable in the top 8-9 rounds. I mean, if you're really looking at it that way,
no, I don't believe that.
I 100% do. Unless there is a quarterback change, there's no way that you can play on Robinson.
Yeah, I think you're crazy. But
we'll talk about that in the offseason.
Yeah, we will. All right, Tennessee at Jacksonville. Who you got?
I got I want to go Jacksonville. I'm going to go Jacksonville. There's no way Tennessee makes the playoffs, right? There's no way.
I'm going to go Tennessee.
Tennessee's not ready to make the playoffs,
are they? No, they're not, but I don't think they will either way. Minnesota at Green Bay. Mike, what's your takeaway?
Ty Montgomery. Wow.
Yeah.
First off, I had him probably, this is another part of my, you know, sad story from last week, but I had him probably in, you know, three or four of my tournament lineups. And once I really looked, I actually Googled sickle cell trait, cold weather, and everything that I read said nothing but this is a bad situation. Mm-hmm. Somebody has a sickle cell trait problem. They can't play in cold weather. It, you know, it ends up making the you know, symptoms much worse and all that stuff. So I was like, you know what? There's no way I can risk that, especially with a guy that, you know, is probably going to get touches, but we don't know how many, blah, 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 blah. So we all know how that ended up. And, you know, moving forward,
was he good?
He was all right.
He
was certainly all right. I mean, I didn't catch it. I don't know for sure, but I heard he did okay based on what I heard.
Well, at least you didn't tell someone else not to tie Montgomery.
Yeah. If there was a reason that you wanted me not to be on the podcast, it was to not say that for sure. But, you know, my main takeaway from this game, other than Ty Montgomery, you have to play him no matter what. He's a wide receiver, and he's going to get – you know, there's no other wide receiver that you can guarantee 15 touches for, and Ty Montgomery is guaranteed that. Minnesota has been, you know, not the same defense over the last few weeks, and, you know, there's no reason to fade him, blah, 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 blah. But the main guy that I'm worried about here is Davante Adams because – you know, I mean, would you play him? Like, that's kind of where I'm at here is, like, I feel like Davante Adams, the reason why he dropped two end zone balls last week was because the air was just so cold. And, I mean, it's really hard to catch a football when it's that when you're literally playing in, like, sub-10 degree temperatures. So I can give him that. But at the same time, I always have the same thought in my head of last year of just him dropping everything. And it gives me a little bit of pause in playing him, you know, especially in such a big week for fantasy owners. I mean, this is your championship week. Are you willing to, you know, go down with the ship with somebody like Davante Adams, or are you willing to say, you know what, I'm willing to, you know, go somewhere else? I have him ranked as my 19th wide receiver. Like I said, Minnesota has not been the same against really any position over the last few weeks here. You know,
I have him at 17, so I'm starting him. I'm starting him.
You're starting him no matter what. I mean,
unless you've got, you know, two or three guys. You know, I mean, you know, theoretically, I guess you could have Michael Crabtree and, fuck, I don't know. I mean,
Michael Thomas.
Yeah. Mike Evans, you know, you could have easily drafted all four of those guys.
Well, out of the slot that has presented some problems for the Vikings in particular the last couple of weeks.
Yeah. And I mean, you got to think their premier corner guy is going to be on Nelson, matched up on Nelson. So
yeah,
that's why I have him as 10th as opposed to being higher than that. So, I mean, you know, part of me almost thought about flip flopping them in my rankings, having Jordy Nelson ranked 17th and having Adams in the top 10, because I feel like he's going to have the better matchup. I mean, yeah, the cold bothers, you know, some people more than others, but I mean, at the end of the day, you know, you got to put your best talent on the field. And I think his matchup is good enough where, he should be able to at least get some kind of short patterns that he could turn up, you know, into big things.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to play him. It's just, it kind of gives me some pause. He's still been a top 20 receiver in terms of fantasy points per game, even with that dud. So, you know, you're looking at a guy that's been consistent. And, you know, I already mentioned what happened in the slot, you know, against the Vikings. You know, they got beat up by that Philip Dorsett long 50-yard touchdown last week that came out of the slot. And, you know, there was, you know, Marquise Lee hit him up for 100 yards. I mean, there's multiple guys in the slot that have beaten him up. So I think it's a good matchup. I just always have that pause with Adams because of last season. It's just like I can't get over it.
Yeah, I think that's fair, but I mean, I think he's been a different guy this year. So.
Oh, he's been amazing. He's been absolutely amazing.
On the Minnesota side of the ball, I mean, can you trust anyone?
Stephon Diggs, that's pretty much the only guy that I am willing to play in my lineup. AP got a lot of hype because he was returning last week, and I really couldn't understand why. It was really kind of odd to me that there was all these people on Twitter kind of like saying, oh, play AP, blah, blah, blah. I was on Jared McKinnon and DraftKings, and, you know, once I heard AP was coming back, I, you know, was actually on him a little bit more because he was so cheap. And, you know, in DraftKings, you get the PPR, you know, eligibility there, and he got like 9 receptions. So, you know, if you are in a PPR format, I still think McKinnon is a guy to go with because they don't, I mean, Bradford's average depth of target, you know, is probably 5 yards or so. I haven't looked it up, but I'm sure it's somewhere in the 5 yard, you know, range, you know. So, especially in PPR, I think Diggs and McKinnon are your options here. But, even in standard, I think Diggs is the sole guy that you could possibly rely on here.
And, you know, just a heads up, neither Peterson nor Diggs practiced on Wednesday. So definitely keep an eye out. You know, games a day earlier, that's one day less. Stephon Diggs was diagnosed with a concussion, or they originally said it was a concussion, and then he was in the protocol, but then they corrected that to it was a hip injury. I don't know how you get those two fucking things confused, but and then I mean, Peterson, after last week, he may actually just be done for the year.
I'm done with him. I'm done with him in general, to be honest. I mean, he was averaging 2 yards a carry prior to, you know, getting injured, and then he's come back, and, you know, you're certainly not going to get anything this season from him. If the Vikings don't improve that offensive line markedly in the offseason,
well, he's going to continue.
Yeah, but he might return. You know, I would assume he would return.
No, he's going.
Maybe not.
He's going somewhere else.
He's going to the Patriots. You know, like our buddy Michael Floyd, who, I don't know if you saw the video for Michael Floyd when he tell me you saw this video.
Yes, I watched it last night.
Awesome. Awesome.
No, it's awful. It is extremely sad watching an extremely talented player.
Don't take this to Sentiment Island. Don't take this to Sentimental Island. He was in the middle of traffic, stopped at a light, passed out, and the officer couldn't even get his attention from banging with his flashlight on the window. They had to like literally pound it over and over and over again for him to even realize he was awake. And then he wakes up and tries to drive away, which is even better. Oh my God. He couldn't even tell the officer where he was at.
Yeah,
he was sitting there like,
I feel bad for the guy, dude. I mean, like, scores a touchdown earlier in the night, goes out and celebrates.
He was watching his nephew. He said he was going to pick up his nephew. Or something like that.
Well, he said a bunch of different things, half of which didn't make sense. It's like a 4-minute-long video of him having no clue what the fuck's going on. But, I mean, you know, I don't want to defend drunk drivers because, I mean, in this day and age, especially an NFL player, they have, like, they have services for the players so they don't drive drunk. Like,
yeah, it's,
they
it's...
can call a number 24/7 and they get a free ride wherever they want to go.
Beyond irresponsible, and there's, I mean, this isn't the first time this has happened, so he legitimately has a problem.
Yeah.
You know, from a very honest place, I don't think this is funny. I do hope that he gets kind of the care he needs and, you know, gets everything kind of wrapped up in order, because he is a very talented football player.
But the Patriots picked him up.
They did. I mean, they picked him up, and they obviously knew this.
Is there any chance that he could play? I mean, obviously, probably not, you know, in the next week or two, but you think
we'll see if he gets jail time. I mean, I'm hearing that he can face legitimate jail time here, so I mean, if he does,
he's a multiple offender, so this could be an issue. So
speaking of another Patriots player in jail time, Aaron Hernandez is again linked to another murder.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, so you know, I guess we'll all be waiting on that to, you know, see how that unfolds. But yes, apparently there is another murder that he is a possible, allegedly, you know, I guess involved with. But I mean,
let's pick the game. Minnesota or Green Bay, Mike, who you got?
Well, there's another Patriots player. No, I'm going to go with Green Bay.
I'm taking Green Bay. Let's go ahead and move on to San Diego at Cleveland. Mike, what's your takeaway?
I don't want any of this game. I mean, I'll go with Philip Rivers, you know, Kenneth Farrell. I'll give him another chance, but you're playing him as maybe a flex option. If you played him last week, you likely aren't even listening because you're probably not in the playoffs anymore. You know, on the Cleveland side, you just pretty much can't. What really saddens me is that you can't play Terrell Pryor. Not only is he injured, but he just hasn't been on the same page with RG3, which is kind of different from the preseason, because you saw him make a few, you know, nice long grabs in the preseason with RG3, which made you feel like there was possibly, you know, a scenario where he would be all right when RG3 returned. But that just hasn't been the case. So, you know, you're looking at a very limited amount of players that you can trust in this game. Tyrell Williams, I kind of saved in multiple leagues to play in week 16. Which is, you know, kind of the best scenario you could possibly get against the Browns. So, you know, you're definitely going to play Tyrell Darrell Williams and, you know, probably Kenneth Farrow as well. But on the Browns side, I'm really kind of struggling with any type of plays here. You know, I think maybe Corey Coleman if you're in a pinch, but that regardless, there's just not a lot in this game.
Yeah, you play whoever the Browns take the first overall. So that's about it. You think Melvin Gordon plays in this game?
I don't.
Thank God.
Yeah, he still has
him in like 2 weeks.
Yeah, he hasn't practiced yet. If he practiced today,
He didn't.
So, I mean, if he did practice today, then I would have had a little bit of, you know, I would have thought that maybe he could give it a go. But I just, you know, I don't think he's going to play. I do think that Gates or Henry are viable starts. Cleveland is, you know, giving up a million points to the tight end position this year. So certainly somebody like Hunter Henry or Antonio Gates based on, you know, your tight end situation, which is I think everybody's suffering from a bad tight end situation this year. You know, they might be viable, but there's just not a lot here.
All right. San Diego versus Cleveland. Who you got?
Going with San Diego.
Oh, man. I want to pick Cleveland.
Shut up. Let's move on.
I picked Cleveland to win last week. That didn't work out real well. Yeah, I'm taking. Hold on a sec. Let me see. Who does Cleveland finish off the season against?
I don't know.
Checking Cleveland. They finish off against Pittsburgh. So they're not going to win. Yeah, Pittsburgh. I'm going to take Cleveland to beat San Diego in the upset.
You're ridiculous. Let's move on.
Let's go ahead and move on. I was just stalling, so I didn't have to talk about the Washington Redskins at Chicago.
Clutch. So yeah. Clutch.
You know, I mean, it being my game, I'll start it off this time. Dude, I hate Kirk Cousins. I mean, I love him because, like, he helped me win my, you know, backdoor my way into the fantasy championship in that league I was talking about earlier. But in terms of, like, a quarterback, God, what an atrocious piece of shit.
Well, in fantasy, he's, you know, been a top five, you know, quarterback over the last 4 weeks. So, I mean, you certainly can hang your head on that. And, you know, I mean, somebody like the Bears is pretty nice. I have him as a top eight guy. I'm surprised that you have him outside of that. Has to be just because you hate him, right?
Yeah. And I mean, the weather in Chicago.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, I don't put too much stock typically in weather. And I mean, ridiculous. I did not even realize this. You know, he's the sixth highest scoring quarterback this year.
This on the season? That's awesome.
That's absolutely atrocious. I mean,
I do think Jordan Reed being out, though, hurts him a lot. You know, I think he's used to having it as kind of like a safety valve. And let's give credit where it's due. Like, Carolina has not been a bad team. I think they've gotten caught up in a lot of bullshit this season. And
Carolina's main issue has been the offensive line.
Yeah, the offensive line and Cam Newton just kind of bitching about everything.
Wide receivers.
Yeah, yeah. There's been a lot of little things that have made the kind of derailed this season for Carolina. But as a whole, they are still a very solid team. I'm very worried about the Bucs playing them in Week 17 because of that. But you know, regardless, this is it wasn't a great matchup. As much as everybody wanted to say that the secondary is so bad for Carolina, they've been much improved over the last few weeks. So I think that this is a scenario where, you know, Cousins just kind of got caught up in a game that they probably thought they could win fairly easily, and they, you know, ended up getting kind of hit in the mouth a bit. But I don't know why you take Cousins. I mean, he's a solid guy. He was somebody that got kind of felt like he got snubbed in the draft, and he's worked hard to improve his game. He's done well at doing that.
Let's be honest, he's not a very good quarterback. He's not. In real life, I mean, this is, you know, the Tyrod Taylor conversation all over again. Like, are we talking about, is he a good fantasy player? And this is something I said at the beginning of the year. I had him ranked inside my top 10 at quarterback at the beginning of the year. And I said, this has nothing to do with how good of a quarterback he is. It has to do with the system he runs. And they make sure that he doesn't have to do too much, but they still throw the ball a fucking ton. And they have no running game, you know. But he's not a good overall quarterback. There's a difference between being a good fantasy quarterback and being a good real-life quarterback. Kirk Cousins is a guy, Cousins, you want on your fantasy team. He's not a guy you want on your actual team. He is the weak link to that offense.
So you're rooting against him re-signing?
Yeah, because, I mean, if he re-signs, he's going to re-sign for a shit ton of money.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they're going to be locked in. And they're going to be mediocre forever.
Well, you know, we'll see what happens there. But regardless, you know, DeSean Jackson, you know, he posted 100 yards in that game. I think that you can count on him again, you know, this week. Rob Kelly, I think, is a solid play. Yeah, I'll talk about it from the Bears' perspective. I think, I mean, obviously you're playing Jordan Howard. He's been every bit as good as we thought he would be this year. Actually, he's been a little bit better than I thought he would be. So, I mean, kudos to that. But I think Cameron Meredith is a sneaky play this week. He, you know, had 8 targets in week 14 and then 13 in week 15. While Alshon Jeffrey returned, he only got 9 targets, and I'd say 7 of those came on one drive. You know, he pretty much had nothing going all the way until like the fourth quarter. Then one specific drive, he ended up catching that touchdown, which kind of saved his day. But you know, regardless, I think Cameron Meredith is in a very good spot here. Washington, I think, will probably have Josh Norman on Alshon Jeffrey more than likely, which gives Cameron Meredith kind of a lot of room to work. And very talented kid, somebody that a lot of people probably dropped. I think Meredith is a possible play this week, especially in deeper leagues.
All right, if I was going to ask you one question, who would you think is the highest ranked wide receiver in terms of points scored in standard formats this year in this game, who would it be?
I would go with Odell Beckham.
No, in this game.
Oh, in this game?
Yeah.
Oh, is it Cameron Meredith, because we were just talking about
him? No. It's your boy and my boy,
Jameson
Crowder.
Crowder.
15th highest scoring wide receiver in fantasy football this year. It's been a couple slow weeks, last couple weeks, but without Jordan Reed in the game, this is when you should fire him up and be ready for him to have a big game against the 28th worst passing or receiving defense in fantasy football. So Jameson Crowder, if you've been a little bit kind of pissed off because he hadn't delivered for you the last couple weeks, this is the time to go and put him in your lineup because he should have a huge game. All right, Redskins at the Bears, Mike. Who you got?
Redskins.
Yeah. Hail to the Redskins. Hail losing to a team that's way worse than you. I'm still taking the Redskins, but let's go ahead and move on to the next game and talk about Atlanta at Carolina. Mike, what's your takeaway?
So who do you think the top, the 11th best receiver has been over the last 4 weeks? Who do you think that's been?
Taylor Gabriel.
That's exactly who it's been. And my answer to that is, there's no way that the touchdowns continue. He's too small to have, this kind of touchdown equity be something that he has be a consistent part of his game. While he's a great long field, field stretcher, essentially, great long target, I think that there's no way that he keeps this up. In this specific matchup, I'm just not really going to be relying on that. I think a lot of people are. So, take that for what it's worth. But I don't believe in Gabriel as being this good. I think that he is a possible top 40 receiver, going forward at going into next year as well. And I think that he's a really, talented player. I like him a lot. But in terms of relying on him for week 16, there's no way that I can do that. Julio's probably returning. I mean, I'm not saying that he's going to take everything, but I don't feel good about Gabriel going into this week, and I would sit him on my bench.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, the Panthers did a pretty good job of bottling up the Redskins wide receiver core, which in terms of overall production is a better overall wide receiver core. It doesn't have a Jones-like guy. But I mean, it's a much deeper core than Atlanta, and I don't see them I don't see them being able to bust out. I mean, Julio, even if Julio plays, what are you going to do with him? Because he's not going to be 100% coming in this game. Can you even start Julio Jones? Because I'm not starting Gabriel either, unless I'm desperate. But can you start Julio Jones?
I would, because he's had a couple weeks off. I think they're going to want him to play a full complement of snaps to kind of get ready for the playoffs. So, that's why I would play Jones. I mean, I think you kind of have to.
Yeah, I mean, I have him ranked in my top 10, so I agree with you. I mean, I think they have to, especially because they haven't clinched the division yet.
No, they haven't. They are waiting on a Bucks loss, and then they haven't clinched. But kind of start your studs narrative. While I don't believe in that wholeheartedly, because I do think that there's certain scenarios where you don't start your studs. I think in this situation, I would. I mean, with Julio, you have to play him and feel good about it. Cam Newton, on the other hand, you have to play too. I know, like, for multiple weeks this year, he hasn't been playable, especially in 10 teamers and such. But you have to play him this week. I think both you and I have him as a top seven option, and he really kind of came back last week. I think that the next two games for them are going to be really good for Cam Newton. So I love him this week, and I love him going forward as well.
Yeah, funny enough, I have Cam Newton ranked seventh this week, and I have him the lowest in the entire division. I have all four NFC South quarterbacks ranked in my top seven this week.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I have Winston. Me and you have Winston and Newton flip flopped, but
but we both have Breeze number one, and we both have Matt Ryan number five. So unless you have an NFC South quarterback or Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady or Andrew Luck, I think you got to start him. So.
Yeah, if you think that this is going to be kind of a shootout style game, I do think Tevin Coleman is worth a look. I have him same as you at 29th at running back. If you're looking at like him and Terrence West, you and I both have Coleman higher. So I think that there's certainly some merit to playing him.
I may drop Coleman a little bit. I after watching that game a second time through. Cause, I mean, the first time I watched, as a fan. And I rewatched the game on the fast forward last night, and Carolina looked really good up front, like in the middle.
Well, they naturally are. I mean, they got Luke Kuechly back, so.
I don't know if I would start Coleman unless I was desperate. I may bump. The hard part is, who do I bump him below? I'll probably bump him below Derrick Henry.
Well, you and I both have we both have Chris Thompson, both ranked higher than Tevin Coleman. So, there's definitely some validity. Nobody's playing Chris Thompson. So, there's validity to playing that, playing Thompson over somebody like Coleman. If you've been playing Coleman the last couple of weeks, I mean, he got an amazing matchup against San Fran last week. So, there's been people that have probably been playing him or riding him the last couple.
Yeah, I would. Obviously Devontae Freeman is a must start, but yeah, I think I might actually lean towards sitting Coleman if I have a better option. All right, we have Carolina versus Atlanta. Mike, who you got?
One of the highest over unders of the week. I'm going to go with Carolina in the upset, mainly because I need the Falcons to lose.
I'm going to go Atlanta because you went Carolina. I was actually going to go Carolina, and you just screwed me. So I'm going to go the opposite way. Indianapolis at Oakland. Mike, what's your takeaway?
I think that this is. I think this has fantasy goodness written all over it.
Yeah.
So
right.
I should be
the highest over under.
Yeah, it is. I think it's at 53. So I love all of it. That's all I really am going to say. I mean, I love Derek Carr. I love the Colts offense. I love Andrew Luck, obviously. Frank Gore's a start. T.Y. Hilton's a start, obviously. I am a little worried about Dante Moncrief. I mean, all season, essentially, even when he's been quote-unquote healthy, he's been a touchdown or bust guy. So, even when he returns this week, which it looks like he will, I don't think that you can count on anywhere more than like six or seven targets, and you kind of have to just pray that he gets in the end zone. So, I certainly, don't feel comfortable having Moncrief in my lineup, but if you have to start him, I think that there's certainly a case to be made to do that. But regardless, I love everybody in this game. There's not much to really kind of focus on. They're all starts.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm firing up. I mean, I'm willing to fire up Moncrief if I'm struggling at wide receiver. But more than likely, if you're in the championship matchup, you're probably not. So. I think Moncrief, he's a risk-reward kind of play, but, against that Oakland pass defense, he could, with T.Y. Hilton drawing a lot of attention, he could eat if he is healthy and ready to go. So, what are you doing with, on the Oakland side of the ball, obviously Crabtree is good to go, but Amari Cooper has been extremely disappointing for fantasy owners.
Yeah, two of the last few 3 weeks, he's had four or less targets. He's certainly I feel like we have overrated him as a fantasy community, not in terms of his talent, but just in terms of the situation. I think Crabtree and Seth Roberts, you know, both of them have more end zone targets than he does on the season. So you're really looking at a loss in touchdown equity there automatically. And, you know, if he's not getting more targets, which he isn't, you know, I mean, he has the same amount of targets the last 3 weeks as Seth Roberts. And Michael Crabtree has 26 compared to their 17. I mean, that's a massive difference. So I don't feel great about Cooper, but he's an automatic start just based on the matchup alone. You have to play him. If you're making a decision between the two, which you shouldn't based on our ranks, we both have them both in the top 10. I guess if you're making a decision, I would go with Cooper just because I feel like the upside is higher. But I think that as a whole, we've overrated Cooper a bit.
I agree and I disagree. I mean, I agree in terms of you've got to play him, you know, because, you know, he is a dynamic talent. The, you know, Indianapolis pass defense is nothing to write home about. You know, to me, I'm, you know, wondering if, you know, the issues that David Carr has had with his pinky has affected his ability to stretch the field. And maybe
A very good point.
You know, that's the reason why Crabtree's getting more looks, because Crabtree doesn't tend to stretch the field in the same way that Cooper does.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I didn't even think about the, you know, fact that, you know, Derek Carr's thumb has been messed up. But, you know, what game did he do that in? Week 13, maybe, against the Bills? Since week 13, at least he, you know, last against KC, he had probably the worst game of his career, 117 yards and no touchdowns. And then against San Diego last week, he only had 200 yards and one touchdown. So, I mean, maybe it's getting a little bit better, but I mean, the last 2 weeks have been horrid for Derek Carr, which, you know, gives some credence to that for sure.
Yeah. He suffered the injury in week 12, against the Bills, or I guess week 13 against the Bills. And since then, Amari Cooper has had two receptions, then five receptions for 29 yards, and then last week, one reception for 28 yards. I mean, to me, it's really kind of pointing to maybe there is an issue in terms of Derek Carr's ability to move the ball down the field. And I'm still starting him because I think the Raiders will make a game plan, especially against Indianapolis, to get Cooper the ball. But I can understand people being nervous. And, you know, we're at week 16. More than likely, this is your championship game or you're in a two-week playoff, you know, that includes week 17. There's nobody that isn't droppable at this point. Like,
absolutely,
you have to win. So, like, if you feel that, I mean, if you feel Amari Cooper, you need to drop Amari Cooper because you know, you need to get someone you feel is guaranteed to get you, you know, 7-8 points, then go ahead. I understand it, but I think Cooper's in for a big week, as do you.
Yeah, well, and always play who you want. Like, if you feel in your gut that Cameron Meredith is going to go off this week and you're nervous about Cooper, then do it. Like, I mean, at the end of the day, it's your team, and, you know, live with – it's what you can live with. If you can live with Cooper on your bench having a massive game and Cameron Meredith being in your lineup and giving you a dud and that being the reason that you lose, then do it. You know, I mean, by hearing that, you know, out loud sounds ridiculous. You know, I mean, you want to play the guy that has the highest upside, and that's obviously Cooper.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, I almost lost my, you know, my matchup last week because I played Cooper, you know, over Cameron Meredith. So, you know,
Cooper in particular has been, I mean, like I just mentioned, you know, 4 and 3 targets in two of the last 3 weeks. I mean, that's not a, you know, something that you can you'll feel great about going into the fantasy week. I mean, I think it's more of a situation where, you know, you have to just have faith, you know, go into your Bible a bit and, you know, start praying a lot that he gets, you know, 8+ targets and that, you know, he catches a long touchdown, which is easily doable against the Colts. I mean, the highest over under game of the week. That's why we love it.
Yeah. All right. Indianapolis at Oakland. Who you got?
I'm going to go with the Colts in the upset.
Wow. You're just picking upsets today. I'm taking the Raiders at home.
Dude, the Colts have been solid. So, I mean, they're not a good team, but they've been all right.
They're not a good team. No, the Raiders, man. The Raiders going to the playoffs.
The Raiders, let's be honest, the Raiders have no chance of making it to the Super Bowl, right? I mean, there's no way they go into Foxborough and win, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I don't think there's really much of a way they go into Foxborough and win either. But, you know, they're one win away from clinching a first-round bye, and they're, a stumble by the Patriots away from having home field advantage. So,
I think that they are a team that loses in the division round. They've gotten lucky on a few of their games this year.
Do you think Pittsburgh or Kansas City goes in there and beats them?
I don't think KC does, but I think Pittsburgh is a possibility. I do think that if Baltimore got in, that they are a team that could go into Oakland and win as well. So, I mean, we'll see, but I just think that the Raiders are the type of team that could lose in the divisional round.
All right, let's go ahead and move on to the next game, and that is your game, Tampa Bay at New Orleans. How much are you sweating right now, Mike?
So much. I love how everybody was like, oh, don't play. I wish, again, I was on last week because I would have been able to say, start Drew Brees, for the love of God. There's no way he goes three games in a row putting up duds. And I think it was pretty obvious that he wasn't going to do that from the outset.
Were trying to talk me into sitting Drew Brees in our three sport championship week one, you were just trying to get in my head then.
Probably. I don't recall doing that, but I was probably hopped up on a lot of medication, so that's probably why I don't remember. It was probably just strategy at that point. But in terms of this game, you have to love everything. I mean, Doug Martin, you have to start, even though he hasn't been very good since he's come back, and they've kind of limited his role. You have to play him against the Saints defense, which is improved, but certainly isn't, you know, somebody you're afraid of. This is a division matchup, so I'm a little worried about it being lower scoring than the 52.5 over-under that it currently is. But, I think you all know the starts in this game. I mean, Mike Evans is an amazing start. Jameis Winston. Cameron Brate's amazing start as well. Michael Thomas, Brandon Cooks. There's also Willie Snead if you are in a deeper format. So I guess the ones that are question marks is somebody like Mark Ingram, you know, versus Tim Hightower. What are you doing there? You could also look at... Yeah, I like both of them, and I also like Kobe Fleener this week a bit as well, if you're looking at a kind of deeper format or deeper league ad. So I think there's just a ton of options to go with in this game, and, you know, sorry, my voice is already starting to cut out. It's been a long time since I've spoken this long, but, yeah, I like everybody.
Yeah, I like everybody, too. Tampa Bay at New Orleans. Mike, who you got?
Tampa Bay, come on, let's go.
New Orleans in the upset.
I hate you. Don't even talk to me.
Tampa Bay's got to lose for the Redskins to make the playoffs. Let's go ahead and move to Arizona at Seattle. Mike, what's your takeaway?
Tyler Lockett, man. I feel like he is finally, you know, coming back and doing what we thought he might be able to do all season long. I mean, obviously, Russell Wilson has been hurt the majority of the year. And then, you know, the last few weeks, he's finally been kind of healthy and everything. But, you know, last week, 7 for 130 and a touchdown against L.A. I love this matchup again. He's not going to be matched up against Patrick Peterson, which is obviously a good thing. I think that Tyler Lockett is a legitimate wide receiver 3 start this week, and I would have no problem playing him.
Yeah, I'm a little bit more tentative on Tyler Lockett this week. I mean, they were playing the Rams. So, you know,
a team that's followed them up the last few times that they played.
No, I'm not buying that. Let's, last time he played them, he got caught 4 balls for pretty much 100 yards, for 99 yards. So, last time he played Arizona, he caught 2 balls for 13. So, I mean, should he outperform that? Yes. But is he, over under 100 yards? I'll take the under. Over under 1.5 touchdowns, I'll take the under.
I mean, over under that on anybody, and you could take the under on that, like, the majority of the time.
All right. Board or brag bet, whatever we call it here. Tyler Lockett is a top 27 wide receiver this week.
No, you have him at 28 and I have him at 44, so technically you're higher in your wide receiver ranks.
I am at 28.
So, yeah, we'll split the difference. You can be we'll do 36. We'll do it 36.
Wait, you have him at 44 and you're talking about how, like, he's a good play this week?
Yeah, he can be a wide receiver 3. That's what I was saying.
Yeah, no. Wide receiver 3 is 36 or higher in a 12 team league.
Well, regardless, some people are in, like, deeper leagues, you know, like, if you're not playing Terrell Pryor, you know, maybe to play Tyler Lockett. I'm not playing Tyreek Hill this week, you know, so I would play Lockett over Hill. I would need to modify my ranks.
I'm now moving Tyler Lockett down my ranks.
But regardless, I think he's a play. How about we do 36? If he hits higher than 36, then I win. If he's under, then you win.
I'll do 35.
Okay, that's fine.
All right, deal. All right, let's go ahead and pick the game. Seattle.
You're not going to talk about anything?
Oh, what is it talking about on the Arizona side of the ball? I mean,
Fitzgerald's terrible, like I talked about from the beginning of the season on.
John Brown took a step forward and is probably available in a shit ton of leagues right now.
Yeah, don't play John Brown or J.J. Nelson at all Seattle, even though they're better than...
You're not going to play... I mean, outside of David Johnson, you're not playing anybody on Arizona, and, you know, you're going to play Doug Baldwin. The running game in Seattle. I mean, how do you feel about Rawls?
I don't feel good about Rawls. He's only had essentially, one good game this year, and Arizona's been pretty solid at stopping the run, but at the same time, like, who are you going to start over Rawls? You know, he's a guy that's assured of 15-plus touches. I just don't know where else you really go. You know, you kind of have to.
Yeah, you have him at 21st. I have him at 22nd, which means he's a low-end RB2. I mean, you know, I would start Tim Hightower over Rawls.
I wouldn't. I'd play Rawls. Okay.
I would take, let's see. Would you start Chris Thompson over Rawls?
Yeah, I would.
I don't think I could do that. In PPR, I could. Kenneth Dixon.
That's really tough. I would still go Rawls barely.
I'm gonna go Rawls barely as well. Ryan Matthews.
Matthews.
Barely. I'm gonna go Matthews as well. Derrick Henry.
Rawls.
I'm gonna go Rawls as well. Last one. Let's see. Who is that? Bilal Powell.
Powell.
Yeah, I'm going to go Powell. All right, I think we're all kind of lockstep. I mean, you know, borderline RB2 this week. It kind of just depends on who you got. But, it's volume play.
Absolutely.
He's going to get the majority of the carries. But probably nothing too spectacular. Arizona's got a decent defensive front, so... but you know that Seattle's going to try to establish the runs, so he's gonna get his, but it's just probably not going to be greater than maybe 20 touches for 80 yards. You know, it's whether he gets in the end zone or not.
Yeah, you're right.
So, all right, Arizona at Seattle. Did I give enough analysis this time, Mike?
Finally, geez, that's all I was asking for.
I'm taking Seattle.
I'm taking Seattle as well.
San Francisco at the Rams. Is anybody worth starting in this game?
Is Todd Gurley worth starting? Because everybody's like automatically back on the bandwagon this week. I'm as a top 10 running back, and I feel fucking terrible about it. Like, every bit of me wants to say, you know what? I'm putting him back down to 30. That's where he deserves to be. I shouldn't even do this. But the fact that he's played in San Fran, I just, you know, he's still getting 49% or I think it's 45% of the Rams' touches in general. Like 45% of their offensive plays are going to Todd Gurley. You would assume if he's going to get 45% of the plays against San Fran that he's going to be a top 10 running back this week. But I mean, honestly, like on a scale of like 1 to 10, how good do you feel about that?
I mean... It depends on who I've got. I mean, I got him as a top 10 play, too. But you could conceivably have Spencer Ware and Jordan Howard, and I wouldn't play him over those guys.
Yeah. To be real, I'm going to play him. You know, I'm going to play him. But I wouldn't get too overzealous in terms of projecting him to outscore a ton of guys. Like, it's really tough for me. You know, how much of you is feeling in the back of your head like this might be a Trent Richardson situation? Like, I mean, some of this is the Rams' fault.
No, this is the Rams' fault. A lot of this is the Rams' offensive line, the Rams' coaching staff.
How many guys kind of overcome that stuff and are able to still put up numbers? Like, I mean, Todd Gurley has had multiple times this year where he's had the ability to, you know, break tackles or do some of the things that he did last year, and he just hasn't been able to.
Yeah, I mean, I think we saw last year that, I mean, he's got special talent. So, I mean, And we've seen flashes of it when he's had running room, you know. So, I mean, to me, it's not a, you know, to me, this is the team around him. I mean, they've got no quarterback. They've got barely any wide receivers. The offensive line is shitty. Jeff Fisher was their head coach. Here's my question, because we haven't recorded you and me in a few weeks because you were sick. How did Jeff Fisher get an extension and get fired in the same season?
I don't know. I think that there was an out. Like when I saw the extension news, I think there was a couple guys that said that this doesn't really mean anything. He can still be fired at any time. Like they're just extending him if he were to stay.
Okay. So what, it wasn't a matter of, because I was like, did they just pay him to go away? Like, did they just give him 2 years?
Yeah, I know, right?
That's no, like getting a promotion and being fired the next day.
Yeah, like we're gonna give you like $100,000 bump in price each year and ask you to leave at the same time.
Yeah, no. We're gonna pay you money to leave. Get out of here. But no, I, you know, where are you taking Todd Gurley next year?
In terms of
running backs, we don't have to say rounds because. I mean, I think that depends on format and, you know, and strategy, but let's do what would you rather. Obviously, you're taking David Johnson, right?
Yeah, I think we can firmly say David Johnson, Ezekiel Elliott, Le'Veon Bell, LeSean McCoy. No,
DeMarco Murray? Depending on what they do in the offseason, I'm going to take, you know, both teams, Buffalo and... In the Rams, because LeSean McCoy may not be on that team next year.
Yeah,
he may not be in Buffalo.
Well, and you also have some rookies. You know, you have Delvin Cook, you have Leonard Fournette. There's a couple other guys that
I'm
can't
not taking any rookies head. Over Gurley. So.
I know, but you said that about Zeke, and you know, we all
and
know
I
how
was
that
wrong.
Turned out.
I was wrong on Ezekiel Elliott. Someone pull that drop, but you know, I was right on LeSean McCoy, so I'll take my wins where I can get them.
No, you're right, but I mean, I think how about Latavius Murray? That's a really solid like.
No, I'm taking Gurley.
Yeah, I'm taking Murray.
Really?
Yeah,
that's insane to me.
Let me preface this by saying that I had Todd Gurley as my number one running back this year. You know, so the talent I know is apparent. Like I, but I haven't seen the same talent. It hasn't. It's been beyond what the offense has provided for him in terms of the offensive line and the scheme and all that stuff. It's been beyond that. I mean, he looked better last week, so I'll give him that credit. But at some point, you know, yeah, you can obviously be talented, but you have to be able to consistently do that. And I just haven't seen that consistently from him this year. I can't. There's no way in good conscience I can have him as a top, you know, eight running back when I haven't seen that from him. Literally all of this season. I mean, we're looking at a whole season saying, you know what? It was just the team and just throwing it out like it was nothing.
All right. DeMarco Murray's on Tennessee next year. Are you taking Murray or?
Yeah, I'm taking Murray.
You taking Melvin Gordon?
Yeah. Yeah.
LeGarrette Blount?
No.
Devontae Freeman?
Yes.
Lamar Miller?
No.
Carlos Hyde?
Yes.
Jeremy Hill?
No.
Jay Ajayi?
No. No, I can't.
Spencer Ware?
No.
Okay. So, but you have Gurley almost outside your top 10 at running back for next season.
Yeah. As of right now. And
yeah,
things can obviously change.
I think I still have in my top seven.
Yeah, and I mean, this is like just so early to have this conversation, so you know, it's tough to really gauge it, but at least for right now, I'm really worried about Gurley as a player, not necessarily as in terms of what's around him.
Yeah, I don't think the talent's a question for me, and I think that's where we differ.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see.
Alright. Anything on the Niners side you want to talk about?
I think Kaepernick is a solid start this week if you want to go that route. The Rams are giving up, you know, they're in the bottom five in fantasy points per game allowed to quarterbacks over the last few weeks. Obviously, that's, you know, kind of, you know, echoed by who they faced and, you know, the team around or their team in general just, you know, scuffling so much. But I do like Kaepernick this week. I think it's, you know, a solid spot for him. Hyde has been great, too. So, I mean, I think that, you know, the 49ers, when you're talking about fantasy, those are the only two guys that you can mention.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, Hyde's a solid start because you know he's going to get his. Kaepernick. I mean,
Kenny Britt, you can play this week too.
Yeah, Kenny Britt, you can play. I don't know. Kaepernick, to me, you've got to have a better quarterback situation because to me, like you could get, you know, a huge game or you could get an absolute zero from him.
I agree. I mean, if
because
you're
the
in
game
the championship,
plan, like the game plan to me is like such a crapshoot. You have no idea what they're going to do in a game that should be fairly close and fairly low scoring. I could see Chip Kelly deciding not to throw the ball at all.
Yeah. Well, if you're in the championship, likely you likely have, you know, Matt Ryan or Drew Brees or Aaron Rodgers, you know, somebody like that.
Philip Rivers, Mariota, Stafford. Yeah.
Even if you, I mean, I guess one comparison that would be tough is like Derek Carr. If you got, you know, through your whole season with Derek Carr.
Derek Carr, there's no way I'm not taking Derek Carr.
Yeah, and I would play Derek Carr this week too. So, I mean, regardless, I think it would be a stretch. But if you're in a, you know, a deeper format, like a 16-teamer, and you end up, you know, you ended up making it there with Eli Manning, I think that there's a legitimate, you know, chance that you could start Colin Kaepernick and feel better about it.
Understandable. All right, Niners, Rams, who you got?
Rams.
I'm going to take... I'm going to take the Niners. Because I think they're going to screw themselves so out of a better draft pick. All right, Cincinnati at Houston. Mike, what's your takeaway?
Is DeAndre Hopkins startable this week because Tom Savage targeted him like 15 times out of the 17 he saw last week after Brock Osweiler left? I think he is.
I think he is too. But what about AJ Green?
I think he is too. Put it on the board. No. Yeah, I like both of them. I think if Green plays, it's because he is legitimately ready. And I think he'll also get, you know, at least 7 to 8 targets. And, you know, what AJ Green can do, even though he has a hamstring problem with 7 to 8 targets, is, I think, worth much more than a ton of other guys. So, yeah, I like both of them.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I don't think you're ever going to feel super comfortable with, you know, AJ Green or Hopkins because, you know, Hopkins has just been so underutilized is the word I'm going to go with. But both you and I have Hopkins as our 16th player. I have AJ Green as my 15th player. You have him as your 17th player. As long as he is playing, it appears he has a better shot this week to do so. So, I mean, I think you're firing them both up unless, you know, you've just got a stacked wide receiver core like I do in the 3-sport league. I'm going to have to decide probably between the two of these guys.
I hope you bench the wrong one.
Me too. I hope I still crush your ass. I think they're both playable. What else interesting in this game? I mean, Savage, is he a guy that you'd be willing to start in a 2 QB league?
No. I think the only other things that are interesting here is like Lamar Miller, for instance. He's still suffering injury problems. I don't know if he practiced today.
Since,
I haven't
like
looked that up
school.
Yet, but yeah, essentially, yeah. But I have him at 18 at running back this week. I think that you're still going to start him, but you're certainly not going to feel great about it. The tight end situation for Houston is kind of interesting as well. CJ Fedorowicz, or however you pronounce his name, he was out last week, which gave Ryan Griffin the chance to post 80 yards. And I think Savage and him have a pretty good rapport with each other. But the problem is, I think Fedorowicz is going to return this week, which kind of makes the tight end situation a little bit muddled. So if I had to go with one, I would go with Fedorowicz just because he has been the consistent guy, and Cincinnati is in the bottom 6 in fantasy points per game allowed to tight ends over the last 4 weeks, but it's still a situation that's kind of muddled because of the injury problems.
Yeah, I mean, Fedorowicz, I don't even know how to say it either, and I have worse. I have him penciled in my lineup in the 3-sport league because that's my 1 week spot, but I did pick up Jack Doyle. And I may just move him over there just to be on the safe side, and make sure I'm getting something. But, I mean, Doyle's not a consistent target either. So, in terms of Miller, I don't think Miller's going to play in this game. He didn't practice today. He's really having a hard time with the knee. I know they're saying he's working really hard to try to get back, but that's a sign of, let's not... destroy the guy we just signed to a long-term contract. So I got a feeling Miller does not play in this game, it being on Saturday and a day early. So I would try to plan for another option. If he does play, Cincinnati isn't great against the run. So, he's obviously a top 20, 25 option. But, you know, to me, if I've got anybody that I feel is going to give me something, because the last thing you need is him to get injured in the first, or re-injure his ankle in the first quarter and be done for the whole game, I think I probably would move him down my ranks. I have him 21st right now, but I think I might move him behind Rawls and Powell.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if he doesn't play either, you can't play Akeem Hunt or Alfred Blue, who would be, you know, getting the majority of the snaps behind him. So it'd be pretty much like a, you know, just a dead.
It would be
a
really ugly timeshare.
Yeah, it'd be a dead position. You can't play it.
No, and obviously you're firing up Jeremy Hill because he's getting all the touches. Yeah, all right, Cincinnati versus Houston. Who you got?
I'm gonna go with Houston.
Cincinnati in the upset.
You and I have been opposite on every game, so either like both of us are going to do mediocre, or one person's going to do great, or the other person. And it's going to be like really weird.
I've been up for like 36 straight hours, so who the fuck knows at this point? All right, let's move into the Sunday games. We're going to move quickly because, like I said, I've been up for way too many hours, and I got to go cook dinner. Baltimore versus Pittsburgh. Mike, what's your takeaway?
Yeah, I mean, this is definitely Antonio Brown week. But
it better be after last fucking week.
Well, Jimmy Smith is still not practicing, which means he's probably going to be out, and that's their top cover corner. Not that a corner can cover Antonio Brown anyways, but you know, with their top guy being out, it's going to be a real, you know, problem for them. But I really love Kenneth Dixon in this game. I know he had a down week last week. He ended up only playing 15% of the snaps compared to, you know, 26% or something for he only played 26% compared to 45% for Terrence West. But I think that it's going to reverse this week. I expect the Steelers to be up, and Kenneth Dixon is obviously the better receiver. So I really like Dixon as a running back too, especially in PPR for this week. Eli Rogers I like as a sneaky start as well because of Ladarius Green probably going to be out with a concussion, and they need somebody kind of down the middle of the field to emerge, and I think Eli Rogers is that guy for the Steelers. So I think that you can you possibly put him in as a wide receiver 3-4 in deeper formats as well.
Yeah, I'm not a Rogers guy, but Jesse James is a guy I wouldn't mind firing up if I was desperate. With Ladarius Green, I think he could get some play over the middle as Roethlisberger's safety valve. I've been waiting for the Kenneth Dixon train to really get rolling since I talked about him so glowingly in the preseason. I'm not willing to bank on that necessarily this game. I do have him as a top, I think, 25 option. So, I mean, he's in the RB2 flex area if you need him. But, I mean, hopefully you've got, some better options to roll out personally. Let's see. I mean, obviously, Antonio Brown's amazing. The entire Ravens wide receiver core is unreliable. Dennis Pitta. I like Dennis Pitta this week.
Yeah, and I think you can play Mike Wallace. I mean, revenge game narrative.
Yeah, Mike Wallace. Yeah, so. Revenge game. He's played for like six teams since Pittsburgh.
No, but the Steelers, he legitimately is mad at. Like, he still will find a way to, you know, get into their head a bit. So I like Wallace in this game.
Ugh, you and your fucking narratives.
Dude, narratives, to quote our buddy Sigmund Bloom, he says that narratives, there's a room for narratives in fantasy football, and I completely agree.
There is, but not on my goddamn show. All right, Pittsburgh versus Baltimore. Who you got?
Pittsburgh.
Oh, let's see. It's in Pittsburgh. I'm gonna go Pittsburgh. Denver at Kansas City. Is there gonna be any points scored in this game by the offense?
Maybe, you know, I don't think so. Maybe not either way. I mean, you're starting both of the Denver receivers. I think that, you know, having Semien back is going to be fine for both of them. The Chiefs I'm not playing Tyreek Hill. I understand that, you know, he had three touchdowns in his last game against Denver, so you can certainly, you know, bank on that. But Jeremy Maclin is getting more involved, and we only saw Tyreek Hill get one touch last week, and it went for 65-yard touchdown. So if he doesn't do that, and it goes for, like, a 15-yard screen pass instead, then nobody's talking about playing him this week against Denver's secondary. So I'm not going to be rolling with Tyreek Hill. I think that you're, you know, giving yourself a massive amount of risk if you end up doing so. But I do like Spencer Ware against a Denver, middle of the Denver defense that has struggled all season long to really stop running backs, running games for that matter, and tight ends. So I like Kelce. I like Spencer Ware. But other than that, I'm really not looking at anything from the Chiefs. And I think it's pretty self-explanatory for the Broncos.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, so I'm not going to. I'm just going to move on. Chiefs, Broncos, who you got?
Broncos in the upset.
Chiefs at home. Let's go Monday Night Football, Detroit at Dallas. What's your takeaway?
Somehow, some way, Zeke is getting better as the season goes on.
Dude, he is an absolute beast. I was, we mentioned it earlier that I was wrong on him, but I'll say it again. I was so wrong on him.
And I mean, half of it's the offensive line, but I mean,
no,
watching
him just carry people.
Yeah,
carry people. Not only is it 4 or 5 yards.
Yeah, not only is it the elusiveness and the suddenness and the quickness, but it's the ability to have so much power and, yeah, I mean, just be able to carry people across the field. When he was running against the Bucs D, they've been really good at stopping run games for a while now, and they made the Buccaneers linebackers and defensive line look like they were children out there. And I'm not saying that just to say it. I mean, it legitimately, he looks like a man amongst boys, and I feel like he is getting better as the season goes on. This game is pretty self-explanatory as well. Golden Tate is an automatic start. He has been one of the top 7 target leaders over the last 4 weeks, so you can definitely feel good about him. We don't know about Theo Riddick yet in this game, but if he does play, I think that there's a viable, viable start. I don't have him ranked because I don't think he will, but I do think that Riddick is a viable option. But other than that, I think it's pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah, Dez Bryant is a start. Cole Beasley, I think, is an interesting flex play in deeper formats, especially PPR leagues, obviously. He has as many points scored as Dez Bryant does this year. At least in standard scoring. So, pretty self-explanatory, I think, as well. All right. Dallas versus Detroit. Who you got, Mike?
Dallas.
I'm going to take Detroit in the upset.
Whatever.
All right. That's going to wrap us up, Mike. Tell us what you're working on, where you reached.
Yeah, you can reach me on Twitter at Mike Werner FWFB. Sorry, my voice is giving out. I haven't used it in a while, so that happens. But check out the site, friendswithfantasybenefits.com. We have baseball going on. Just check it all out.
You can reach me on Twitter at Justin Mason FWFB. Please feel free to give us a rate and review. Check everything we've got going on, friendsfantasybenefits.com. Baseball coming up, going into full swing January. I think me and Mike are going to continue to try to record during the playoffs in case you're in playoff challenges. And I'll set up a playoff challenge league. So if you're interested in that, hit me up on friendsoffantasybenefits.com or via the email, friendsoffantasybenefits@gmail.com, either Mike or my Twitter or at Fantasy Benefits Twitter. And we're going to do the NFL league, NFL.com league again. It was a lot of fun last year. I think Eli won that or something like that last year. Congratulations to Ben Briggs. If you're still listening, he won the Eliminator Challenge, beating me in week 14.
Oh, wow.
We both were undefeated through week 14. I switched my pick at the last minute.
Isn't that the way it always goes down? Yeah, Ty Montgomery style.
Yeah, and screwed myself. I can't remember who. The Cowboys over the Giants in whatever week that was. Was that week 14, week 13? Who knows? He ended up winning that. Congratulations to him.
Congrats, Ben.
That's a pretty awesome achievement. And I believe he's still going. Like, I believe he's continued to pick, and he hasn't gotten any wrong. I'm going to double check.
Wow, that's impressive. That's impressive.
Yeah, I'm going to double check it real quick as I talk. Give us a rating review on iTunes. It really helps us out. And keep
checking. Have a Merry Christmas. Yep. Merry Christmas, everybody, or a happy holidays if you want to be politically correct. But
that is true. Please have a Merry Christmas and stay safe out there. Yes, Ben Briggs is still undefeated, has not lost yet.
That's crazy. All right.
That is going to wrap us up for Mike and myself. Thank you for listening. Have a fantastic football season.